Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for our time together and that you were able to join me today. I'd like to share a message which I've entitled Discipled for Christ. And let's begin by reading a passage from Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 40. This is the Amplified Translation. A pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. Beloved, the Holy Spirit is about bringing you and I, bringing Christians into our full potential in Christ, to develop in our spirit, our body, our mind, into the fully equipped soldiers of the faith who God desires us to be, who go from a defensive position to an offensive position and begin to live and achieve results that God said the body of Christ would have because He went to the Father. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And one of the most difficult spiritual problems we face today, not only in the world, but even in the church world, is finding people who will be committed and faithful. Those who will be obedient and submissive to God's authority and wherever God has placed you in the body. The Apostle Paul states in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Beloved, without faithfulness, it's impossible to really teach others about what you have. There's a consistency. There's a commitment to faithfulness. Remember, Jesus says at the end of days, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Of all the words, adjectives he could have used, this is the word that he finds most commendable, faithfulness. So faithfulness, beloved, is the key to new growth and an expanded experience in Christ, to discipleship, to experience the Lordship of Christ in our lives. God is looking for faithful Christians who will obey Him rather than the wants and the desires of the flesh. Paul is very clear. He said the flesh nature wars after the spirit, and it will not be subdued. So we have to, if we live in the spirit, we should walk in the spirit. Solomon declared in Proverbs 20:6, "Many a man proclaims his own loving kindness and goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And we're told in Proverbs 25:13, "As the cold snow brought from the mountains in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the life of his masters." Praise God. And John stated in 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And beloved, there's such a joy in finding those who are faithful, who will come to the place that they no longer want or desire to do their own thing, but simply to do what pleases God, what God has shown them to be their will. And I'd like to share some principles with you briefly. And the first one is, and we're going to work in this, is those who intend on being faithful to the Lord, being faithful men and women of God, shall have a desire for God's word. As I've said so many times, it's really the dividing line today in churchianity, in Christianity, is the belief in the authenticity and absolute inerrancy of the Word of God. Now, for those of you, of course, who love God, listen to this broadcast, it's like, doesn't everybody feel that way? Unfortunately, no. There is great compromise, and there are those who believe we have to make it relevant for the day in which we're living. Well, that is not true. That's a deception of the enemy. So we have to desire God's word. And those who have a desire for God's word are usually those who are desiring and willing to grow in the knowledge of God. To be a disciple of Christ, to be really discipled, means those who are willing to learn and to become a pupil of Christ. The Greek word used for disciple in Luke 6:40 means a student, a pupil, and a learner. So to be used of God, to be a true disciple, does require commitment to the divine authority of God's word. The person who's going to reach their full potential in Christ is a person who doesn't accept only what he or she wants to accept, pick and choose out of the word what you desire, and choose to believe and act on or obey. But there's the whole counsel of God, which has been given to us to train us and to instruct us in the way of righteousness. 1 Peter 2:2 declares, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation, since you have already tasted the goodness and the kindness of the Lord. Come to him then, to that living stone which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come, and as living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and well-pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Revelation talks about us. Jesus said he has made us kings and priests unto our God. So, beloved, Jeremiah declared in 15 and 16, your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah, like a lot of Christians, had obeyed God. He cried out to the people, but they rebelled and wouldn't listen. Jeremiah interceded for the people, confessing sin and pleading the covenant relationship. But then God told him to stop praying. Why? Because judgment, God's judgment and wrath, is certain on false prophets and those who listen to them. But Jeremiah continued to intercede. Thus we find Jeremiah rueing the day he was born. In Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, verses 10 and 11, he says, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. And then in verse 11, the Lord said, verily it shall be well with the remnant. God assured him, I will set you free for the purposes of good. I will strengthen you for good. And listen to Jeremiah. He said, thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. But in verse 17, he said, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. And he was His words changed. The battles, the testings to this point were heartbreaking for him. They were beyond difficult. And Jeremiah felt like a thirsty traveler who is disappointed when he finds a brook dried up. He felt God had failed him. And so often we can grow through such difficult times that we sometimes feel we've been failed of the Lord. We call and it seems the heavens are brass. There's no answer forthcoming. And our soul is sick within us. And that's why we have the beauty of God's word, because the greatest men and women of God suffered similar trials and battles. They experienced heartache, and they experienced times of not understanding what was going on. But beloved, we have to trust God just as Jeremiah did. We have to, in spite of how it looks, in spite of where even today you may find yourself, God is not going to leave you there just as he didn't leave Jeremiah there. He's left none of his servants forsaken. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us till the very end of the age, and God is a faithful God. He's wanting us to trust his word and just to keep our eyes on him and trust and praise him that deliverance is coming. Weeping may endure for a season, beloved, but joy comes in the morning. David said in Psalm 63, 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Praise God. Well, my time is getting away, and we will conclude this, Lord willing, on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to tune in at the same time. And as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. The announcer is going to give our contact information. And should you desire to email, I will confirm receipt. I will pray. But if you would like a personal answer, I invite you to share your mailing address. And I trust you will be blessed by the word that God gives me to share with you, as countless thousands have been over the decades. I love you. Pray for you every day. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.